adjust your shorts, and prepare yourselves for that little program where we tell you all about the news. My name is Ray Stone. Today is Thursday, September 25th, 2025. I can't believe it's already almost October. And I've got a comedy show coming up, and I'm totally going to be ready for it. I hear what you're supposed to do is go spend 2 months in the woods by yourself working on a cabin, and then go try to speak in public. I'm pretty sure that's going to work out just fine for me. So look forward to that. If you're paying attention and you actually want to come see this show, I will be at Stir Crazy Comedy Club on October 30th. That's a $15 ticket. There's a little competition, a local talent called the Funniest Person in the Universe, I think, which is, I mean, it's pretty grandiose. Also, next night I have a 10-minute set over at Cheers Tavern on Halloween. There will be costume contests and all kinds of fun comedians, so come check it out. But I digress. Let's talk about some news. First up, we're going to jump right on into the good news. There wasn't a whole lot today, but we can talk about it anyway. Feeding blueberries to babies may reduce allergy symptoms and improve gut health. Now, does that reduce allergy symptoms for life or just for when you eat the blueberries? Is it the antioxidants? Who knows? Did I read it? No, it's just a headline. You're not going to remember it anyway, so let's move on. I like this. Hairy deep sea coral species newly discovered and is named after Chewbacca. But it looks more like Cousin It to me. So shouldn't they have called it Cousin It? Just saying. Sun receives 24-year-old letter written by his hero flight attendant mom who crashed on 9/11. What? Golfer hits first hole-in-one, then gets a second on the same day and wins $500 from a scratch-off. You should have bought the Powerball. I wonder if he played those Simpsons numbers. Oh, wait, that's tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. But also, Powerball. God is blessing me so I can bless others. Woman donates lottery winnings to charities. Yeah, but I bet you she didn't donate all of the winnings. If she did, she's a real saint and she's got lots of money already. So come on now. Now this, though, California's first solar panel covered canal is fully online. In Phoenix, we have most of our water is produced by the CAP from the Colorado River, the Central Arizona Project, where a canal snakes through the whole state and basically ends up, and then that's what feeds all of us. And I have said this for my whole life, ever since I learned about solar and the canal and the fact that billions of gallons of water evaporates from the canal before it can even reach us. So this is like a wasted effort unless you like the idea of putting water vapor in the air, which maybe that's good. But I said, why wouldn't we cover the canal with solar? It's totally unused real estate. It will generate electricity enough to run cities. In fact, I think I did the math on it. If you cover the entire CAP canal in solar, it would run the entire state and then some. And what this is just a small section. And this small section is 1.7 megawatts, and it's enough to run the pumps that actually pump the water. So at least, at the very least, by covering a canal with solar, you can stop using diesel generators and connecting it to the power grid for these pumping stations, and you can actually generate your own electricity. I mean, this is genius. This is so genius. It's crazy to me that humankind doesn't just do this automatically. Like all this kind of stuff where we're like, oh, you know, I think I see something. Why don't we do that? But instead, we've got to do all these environmental impact studies. And like, there's just going to be a ton of reasons why we can't do it. And people will argue against solar. But once you build the solar, it's there for a very long time. The argument against diesel is a lot higher than the argument against solar. All right, let's jump into some regular old news. First up, we got the BBC. Russia brushes off Trump's claims of a paper tiger. Trump called Russia a paper tiger, and Dmitry Peskov says, Russia is in no way a tiger. Is more associated with a bear, and there's no such thing as a paper bear. Well, I don't, my Russian is German. I speak German Russian. But he's like, no, Russia's a bear, and there are no such things as paper bears. Go, Trump. You got him. You zinged him. You zung him. I'm not a huge Trump fan, but that's fucking hilarious. More from the BBC. Anti-ICE message on ammunition at a Dallas shooting that killed immigration detainee. I mean, just the act of setting up on a rooftop and sniping sort of anonymously at an ICE building is an anti-ICE statement enough. You didn't have to put anything on the ammunition. One step too far. Oh, and then I like that they say that he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Died of a, like, no, he committed suicide. What? Can't we just say what we mean anymore? Well, let's see. White House asks for mass firing plans ahead of possible government shutdown. I thought this was kind of interesting because it's like, instead of going through those Doge files that they combed through at the beginning of his tenure, at the beginning of the year, and looking for those programs that have total waste and fraudulent spending, we're going to take payment away from employees that we don't deem necessary. So if there's a government shutdown, we're going to fire 900 people. Instead of going through and actually hiring 900 people to look through the files and figure out what of those Doge costs were actually fraudulent and actually wasteful and getting rid of those. Maybe we should be doing that, don't you think? I mean, I'm just saying. Look, I'm just putting some ideas out there, guys. European officials fear Trump is preparing to blame them for the Ukraine failure. I mean, everybody's to blame for this. Anybody who doesn't stand up and act. We've got Russia flying jets over Denmark. We've got Russia flying drones over Poland. We've got Russia flying jets over close to Alaska airspace today, actually. We'll get into that in a little bit. European officials fear Donald Trump's latest rhetoric on Ukraine aims to set them as a possible, to set them an impossible mission that will allow the U.S. president to shift blame away from Washington if Kyiv falters in the war or runs short of cash. One thing that I saw is something on the Russian economy is starting to finally crumble. And this was, I can't remember what news source it was, but the Russian economy is starting to suffer. They have lots of manpower still, but they're running out of money for food and for resources. And so maybe the minds behind this big play, because I don't think that actually the people that we're looking at in the news are the people that are actually behind this war. I think there are people out there that think in long-term tracks, 100-year, 50-year tracks of time. And they know that to wage a 5-6-year war costs heavily. So maybe the game is the reason we're not jumping in and fighting is we're waiting for this fighter to tire himself out a bit. Run out of resources, run out of air, run out of food, run out of effort, fatigue in the war before we all jump in and say, okay, now we can defeat Moscow handily and divvy up Russia. I mean, maybe that's the play. Maybe I'm stupid. Maybe the rest of us are all ignorant. And the big play at hand here is let him tire himself out. Moving on. Okay, the Post. Well, we're not going to watch advertising. PBS News. Activist flotilla seeking to break the Israeli blockade of Gaza says drones attacked its boats last night. Now, two things about this. If you float a fleet, first of all, I don't know why the term flotilla makes it sound like they're a bunch of rafts tied together floating aimlessly amid the ocean currents, hoping for a rescue. These are boats. This is a fleet of civilian boats. set to protest. So calling it a flotilla just really takes the nutsack off of it. You know what I mean? It just really takes your truck nuts away. I wonder if they put any truck nuts on the boat. You know what? I got a boat. I'm going to be the first guy to put truck nuts on a boat. And if you hear this and you do it before me, I'm glad you're listening. But I did think it was interesting because the attack happened south of Greece, which prompted me to look up the location of Greece in association with Israel on the Google Maps here. And Greece is quite a bit to the west and north, and Israel's way down here. So the battle is way down here. So they bombed them somewhere between Greece and Libya/Egypt border, which prompted me to then ask, are those international waters? And the answer is no. The entire Mediterranean Sea is not international waters. It consists of both national maritime zones, territorial waters, exclusive economic zones, and areas of high seas. So then I asked, is it legal for Israel to attack civilian boat in the Sea of Crete, which is approximately where the flotilla was located? And here's the AI-generated overview from Google. In general, international law prohibits attacks on civilian vessels. Exceptions are extremely limited and subject to strict conditions. The legality of an attack by Israel on a civilian boat in the Sea of Crete would depend heavily on the specific circumstances, including the location of the vessel, the existence of a valid blockade, and the boat's actions. What does that tell you? Google wants us to be okay with it. Because they're not just saying, I see you're asking about the flotilla attack, and nah, they shouldn't have done that. Fuck you, Google, go fuck yourself. All right, let's get into some headlines. BBC, Denmark says, professional actor behind the drone incursions over its airports. That means a professional actor being Russia. It would seem that Russia is deliberately and consistently testing the boundaries of just what it can do, or at least reacting to the world's condemnation of its this war that it's conducting on Ukraine. And I'm just like, man, it's like the bully. It's like the bully. You know, I'm reminded of, I took a flight recently coming from New York, and I had a Jewish guy sitting next to me. I could tell based on his yarmulke and red beard. I shouldn't say the red beard part, but definitely the yarmulke part. And I'm in the middle seat. He's in the window. There's a woman in the aisle. And everybody knows that the middle seat gets the armrests. That's the deal. Everybody knows it. If you don't know, now you do. But what he did was, not only did he have his elbow on the seat, but he just had it just touching my armpit. Just in my armpit, just a little bit. So I was like, all right, I get it. I think I get it. They just want to take a little bit of what you're supposed to have. So I just kept pushing my elbow further and further into his pec until eventually we were just locked arms, just both of us watching the animated version of the Quran or the Torah or whatever the fuck he was reading. Because he was reading He was reading his biblical book and watching it animated on his tablet, which I was just like, man, this is what these guys are into. And he was just so happy to be reading it. And it's like, yeah, that's because it's telling you all this stuff that you want to hear. All right, moving on. Coffee. Coffee giant Starbucks will lay off workers in stores as a part of a $1 billion restructuring plan. And it says this amounts to approximately a 1% decline in the total number of Starbucks locations in North America. While we're making good progress, says the CEO, there is still more to do to build a better, stronger, and more resilient Starbucks. Now, I don't know if this is a response or a reaction to the fact that there have been a lot of protests against Starbucks due to the notion that it is Israeli-owned or highly Israeli-owned, Jewish-owned company, I should say. If you haven't seen, there have been a bunch of protests at Starbucks and people calling you fascists if you have Starbucks coffee. And it's just like, but that's not the crazy part to me. Better, stronger, and more resilient Starbucks. Was anybody worried about Starbucks? I feel like it's the best, most resilient, strongest coffee company in the world. Do you really need to make it stronger? You got Starbucks across the street from Starbucks next to a Starbucks. Like, what? What more do you need? All right, MSNBC. Three potential ways to parse Trump's language at the UN, some of which he also used during a surprisingly friendly sit-down with Zelensky at the United Nations headquarters in New York on Tuesday. Now, they're saying that there are three things that his speech could mean. The first of which is that it could mean nothing at all. Fuck, then it means two things. You can't say it could mean three things. One is that it means nothing. It's like, that's not one option. That's a zero option. That means there's only two things. So what they're saying is there are two possibilities, and that this language is an attempt to distance him entirely from trying to broker a peace deal, because he's saying that the United Nations needs to do more, which, I mean, if they're the ones that are closest to Russia, well, we're pretty close to Russia too. We got Alaska right there, but it's way on the other side. It's nowhere near where all the activity is. And if they're the ones closest to Russia, they really need to be the front. I mean, if I've got somebody building a fortress right next to me and like flying drones over my house, I'm going to take action. I'm not going to sit here and call Phoenix and ask Phoenix to come take action. I'm going to be like, shit, I guess I better do something about this. But you know what? Call me crazy. Okay. And the other possibility is that the language that he's using, because he's like flip-flopping back and forth and saying all kinds of crazy stuff and saying, yeah, UN should shoot down aircraft that's in their airspace and all this stuff, is that he's trying to intimidate Russia by seeming like a crazy person, which, I mean, I don't know. He doesn't seem all that crazy to me. He seems kind of stupid. Ooh, let's move on. CBS, ABC, CBS News. U.S. fighter jets were scrambled Wednesday to identify and intercept four Russian warplanes flying near Alaska. Now, where this isn't illegal and it's not uncommon, they were in the correct zone. It is also just a little, it's just the elbow on your seat. It's just the elbow in your armpit. But this time it's coming from Russia, and they're just flying close to the sun, boy. One thing I know about flying close to the sun, I mean, eventually, if the whole world is a hornet's nest, which it kind of is, and you've got one guy out there just sort of just prodding the hornet's nest, eventually the hornet's nest is going to sting. I mean, that's just the way that it is. So, you know, he's trying to bully everybody. He's trying to say, you know, there's no such thing as paper bears. Oh, that's better. Yeah, there's the Russian. No paper bears. Oh, I loved this. A statue of Trump and Epstein holding hands and seemingly frolicking together in D.C. is removed as fast as it appeared. This appeared on Tuesday after my adjuster shorts, and oh my God, this made me laugh so hard. And the inscription down here on the plaque is the inscription in the birthday book that Trump signed for Epstein, which I just think is hilarious, right here in view of the Capitol building. Perfect view of the Capitol building. Trump and Epstein, full life-size statue gets placed so that everybody can see, and then they just take it down real fast. All right, last up but not least, CNN. The U.S. economy grew at 3.8% rate in the second quarter, significantly stronger than previously reported. But the previous person that was responsible for reporting economic statuses got fired. So, do we believe the 3.8% growth? I mean, I don't, but, well, maybe I'm just crazy. Maybe it's all fine. Maybe it's all good. I mean, right outside right now, there's a big bull elk, and he's just been screaming away. So if you've been hearing that, well, I would apologize, but I can't, because it wasn't my fault, and I can't help it. But that's it for the news. So go ahead and adjust your shorts back to their normal levels. Consider yourselves kicked in the dick by the Thursday news. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week and enjoy your weekend. And as always, we will see you on Tuesday. Bye.